Welcome to Torah from JTS, a weekly commentary from the Jewish Theological Seminary.
This is Rabbi Luciana Pajeki-Lederman, director of the Beit Midrash, with a commentary for Parashat Bo. Where we stand is what we learn. As a Talmud teacher, I'm constantly aware of the dynamic web of relationships in which learning takes place, between me, the students, and the text we explore together, each quietly and continually shaping the relationship between the others. But as director of the Beit Midrash, I'm specially attuned to the role of the surrounding environment, how the space itself can either nurture or inhibit those relationships. In the second role, I'm often in conversation with faculty about the pedagogical value of bringing their students into the Beit Midrash, a space designed for learning out loud and in partnership, where students' thinking becomes visible and professors gain opportunities to offer more targeted and nuanced feedback. I'm also in constant dialogue with students about how to upgrade the physical space to better support their learning. Can we bring in more light, provide different kinds of seating for different bodies, create quieter corners for those with auditory sensitivity? What kinds of textual aids should we be adding to the shelves? Such attention to relationships and environment draws on David Hawking's pedagogical framework, often referred to as the relational triangle. Originally developed to help educators evaluate and improve learning experiences, this framework has since been extended beyond education to other professional areas as well. Wherever two people or two roles stand in relationship to a shared object of work, inquiry, or concern, such as community organizing, counseling, and supervision. Even in our daily roles as family and community members, the framework offers a shared language for attending not only to the individuals involved and the task at hand, but also to the context, and to how that context either facilitates or impedes the unfolding of relationships and shared purpose. The relational triangle can also help us reflect on the surrounding environment in which God chose to deliver to Moses and Aaron the first mitzvah, inviting us to consider how context shapes even moments of divine instruction. In Parashat Bo, the Torah introduces what Rabbi Yitzchak considers to be mitzvah rishona shenitztavu ba Israel, the first mitzvah given specifically to the Israelites, the commandment to sanctify the new moon, Rosh Chodesh. Achodesh hazeh lachem Rosh Chodashim, rishon hu lachem lechodshei hashana. This month shall mark you the beginning of the month. It shall be the first of the month of the year for you. Why begin with Rosh Chodesh? One possible answer is that through the commandment of sanctifying the new month, God was empowering the Israelites to partner in determining the calendar that would set their new shared occasions and shape their common history. In this way, Rosh Chodesh marked the beginning of the Israelites' transition from slavery, where others controlled their time, to freedom, in which they became masters of their own time. Yet, before the Torah tells us what this first mitzvah is, it is careful to tell us where it is given. And it is this emphasis on place that troubles the commentators. Exodus 12:1, the preamble to the introduction of the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, says, Vayomer Adonai el Moshe ve'el Aharon be'eretz Mitzrayim lemor. God said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. Given that the Torah had just stated that God had stiffened the heart of Pharaoh so that he would not let the Israelites go from his land, in Exodus 11:10, it seems obvious that they were still in Egypt. Why then does this verse emphasize this context again in relation to this first mitzvah? The Mechilta interprets this apparent redundancy as meant to convey that God gave the first mitzvah specifically in the Eretz, the land of Egypt, as opposed to Krach, the city. Just as Moses went outside the city to pray for the cessation of thunder and hail in Exodus 9:29, so too God would not speak about mitzvot within the city, a place filled with idolatry. According to this midrash, the handing over of time, granting the Israelites ownership of their own calendar, would be less distracting and more effective in an isolated space, away from the modus operandi of the surrounding culture that had been so deeply ingrained in them. In his early collection of sermons, Derech HaMelech, the Piasechno Rebbe, Kalonymus Kalman Shapira, rejects the Mechilta's interpretation. According to the Rebbe, by emphasizing that the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh was given Be'eretz Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt, the Torah wanted to teach that being within the city and not outside it was essential in order to show that changes can start anywhere. Gam lemakom she'atem nimtzaim, even where they are currently located. God knew that this was only the beginning of the challenge. For many years to come, the Israelites would need to learn how to organize their time in a new way, different from the patterns of life they were conditioned to and from those that would continue to surround them. So, according to the Piasechno Rebbe, rather than introducing Rosh Chodesh in ideal conditions, away from everything and everyone, God wanted to show that it was possible to begin imagining this new way of life and working toward it, even while they were still embedded in the old Egyptian patterns. Later, while living in the Warsaw Ghetto, the Piasechno Rebbe revisited the expression Be'eretz Mitzrayim and offered a slightly different interpretation. As he himself was trying to find new meanings in the Torah to offer consolation and hope to the Jews locked with him inside the ghetto, the Piasechno Rebbe understood that God was specially concerned about Moses' ability to transmit and guide the people into the implementation of this mitzvah. Kevan sheletzorech Yisrael shebemitzrayim levad, Hashem diber mitzvah zo. Since this commandment was spoken solely for the sake of the Israelites who were in Egypt, so God wanted to make sure that Moses himself heard it Be'eretz Mitzrayim. If Moses were to understand the wisdom of Rosh Chodesh and be an effective leader, he needed to receive it from God while very much connected and attuned to the plight and suffering of the people he was guiding. Whether through a safer and more secluded space, where the Israelites could focus and feel comfortable experimenting with new ways of living, as suggested by the Mechilta, or through immersion in challenging circumstances, where the Israelites could begin to imagine incremental change and Moses could remain attuned to the lived realities of the people he was meant to lead, as suggested by the Piasechno Rebbe. These interpretations of Be'eretz Mitzrayim in Exodus 12:1 converge on a shared insight. Even God, the teacher par excellence, understood that excellent students, Moses and Aaron, and an excellent lesson, the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, were not sufficient on their own to guarantee effective transmission. Careful attention to the surrounding environment in which that transmission would take place was essential to its success and for God's words to take root and endure.
If you enjoyed this program, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and discover JTS's other series by visiting jtsa.edu/podcasts. To learn with JTS faculty in live online classes, visit jtsa.edu/online. And you can get in touch with us by emailing onlinelearning@jtsa.edu. Thanks for listening.